Hagotn Chodesh, everyone. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Av. Mishenichnas Av mematin besimcha. When Av enters, when the month of Av enters, so we lessen our happiness. And being that we just finished the book of Shmuel, the semester is about to end, and Tisha B'Av is imminent, so we're going to spend this class and next Sunday's class on the Megillah of Eicha, Lamentations. And tonight, we're going to spend much of our class with an introduction discussing who was the great prophet Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, and when was this Megillah written, and what was the purpose of this Megillah. And then, we'll begin learning the Megillah. And as usual, when we begin something new, we're going to begin with the beginning. So let's begin. The year is zero. Take a vote. Ask the guys.
So,
the year is zero, or 3760 BCE, and we have creation. Adam is placed in the Garden of Eden, and he's given a commandment. He's told not to eat from a certain fruit, either a grape, or a wheat, or a fig, or an esrog, who knows. And Adam transgresses. Adam Arishon eats from the forbidden fruit. What is his punishment? Exile. He's kicked out of Gan Eden. 10 generations to Noah, the world has been spiraling downward, and God says, enough is enough. Destruction. The world is destroyed. Noah is left behind with his family, and they come out of the ark. They try to start the world anew in a more positive way. The world is now careful about at least being faithful to their spouses. Not stealing, hopefully. Again, 10 generations, we hit Avram. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the decree to go down to Egypt. We go down to Egypt, Yaakov's 12 tribes. Why do we go down to Egypt? Because of Sinat Achim, hatred between the brothers, between Yosef and his brothers. That leads us down to our first exile, down to Egypt. We're down in Egypt. After 210 years, we come out. We go to the desert. I didn't say it was Sinat Chinam. I said it was Sinat Achim, hatred between brothers. So we come out of Egypt. We get the Torah. Moshe comes down from Sinai. And we have the Egel. The Luchos are banished. 40 days. Finally, Yom Kippur, we're atoned for. When were the Luchos banished? Very good. Now, a year passes. We've built the Mishkan. We send the spies into the land of Israel. They come back on the 9th of Av, and the Jews spend the 9th of Av crying. We don't want to go into the land of Israel. We don't want to be led into the land of Israel. We'll appoint a new leader, and he'll lead us back to Egypt. So what's the first thing we have on the 9th of Av? Chet HaMeraglim. Chet of Lashon Hara, saying bad. The chet of not wanting to follow the leadership that God has appointed. The chet of not wanting the land of Israel. And this is going to become a marked time in our history, a time for destruction in the Jewish people. Let's fly forward. 40 years pass. We enter the land of Israel under Yeshua. We have the judges. We have King Saul, Shaul HaMelech, and then King David, David HaMelech, King Solomon, Shlomo, and we hit Shlomo's son, Rechavim, Rechavim's son, Shlomo. During Shlomo's reign, Shlomo sins. God says, the kingdom will be divided. And so, when Shlomo's son becomes king, God causes it that we have two kingdoms. The Jews break off from King Solomon's reign. Now we have two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, what we call Judea, the southern kingdom. The northern 10 tribes are exiled by Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, the Assyrian king. They've been serving idols. That's the way the leaders kept them under their rule, because they kept them serving idols, and this way they didn't keep going back to the temple. The temple was under the domain of the Judean kings. So by ensuring that everyone was serving idols, they ensured that they wouldn't come back under the rulership of the Judean kings. And so the northern 10 tribes are exiled. Now we have a period where the northern part of Israel is desolate. We have foreign nations in the north, and the southern part is inhabited, but they're serving idols. They're bowing down to the sun in the temple. And God sends them prophet after prophet, and they're not listening. They're not interested in repenting. Until finally, we reach the king Jehoiakim. Now, if you look at your charts here, you can see on first of all, on page 8, you have the years.
Crash course?
I don't know which one that one is. On page 8, you see the first temple, 410 years. It's from 2928 to 3338, or from 832 BCE to 422 BCE. Yeah? Now if we move forward, should have another page. Yeah, page 8. Should say 8 on the bottom of the page. Don't count, look at the numbers. Yeah, the one handwritten. Now if you want, you could turn to page 18. Timeline from the Art Scroll Tanakh, photocopied. And you have the kings of Judah. And if we move forward towards the bottom, you have Jehoiakim ben Hoshea. And he was a wicked king who ruled for 11 years. And during his reign, God appeared to the prophet Yirmiyahu. Notice he is third from last. We have Jehoiakim ben Hoshea. Then his brother Yochin ben then his son Yochin ben Jehoiakim, and then his brother Tzidkia is the last king. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Jehoiakim wasn't very fond of Yirmiyahu. The prophet Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu has been telling the Jews, repent. He's been telling them, if you don't repent, the city will be destroyed. And Jehoiakim doesn't like him for this. So he jails him. Now, Yirmiyahu's had a tough life. From the time he was a youngster, God appeared to him and said, go prophesy to the people. And Yirmiyahu said, I'm a youngster, I can't prophesy. And God said, you go. And Yirmiyahu said, well, all the other prophets didn't rebuke them till after they had done something for them. Moshe spent his whole life fighting for the Jewish people. And only then does he give them the whole book of Devarim. Does he give them rebuke? I'm going to show up on the scene. I haven't proven myself. I haven't done anything for these people. First thing I do, I start rebuking them. Who's going to want to listen to me? And God says, I'll protect you. You don't be scared. You stand up and say what you have to say. Now, at one point, there had been a false prophet that stood up and spoke against Yirmiyahu and said, he took on these silver horns and he stood before the king and he said, with these you will defeat Aram, the Armenian Empire. And Yirmiyahu said, look, God didn't tell me that. God told me a prophecy, things are going to be bad. Maybe God changed his mind. Maybe you're right. Halvayit should be like you. God said, what do you mean? Think I'm playing games? I told you it's not going to be. Think I changed my mind and didn't tell you? So Yirmiyahu had been a little bit kind to this false prophet. He had done Hanifa. He had spoken sweetly. Sometimes we feel like, wouldn't it be nice if we could speak sweetly to someone, even though he's a liar? And he is a dangerous person, but it's not always comfortable to take people on head on. When Yirmiyahu took his own family head on and rebuked them, they tried to poison his food. Yirmiyahu spent his life trying to rebuke the Jewish people, and no one wanted to listen. So now, Yirmiyah makes a small mistake. He says, "Halvai it should be like you said." God takes him to task on that. So that when Yirmiyah tries to travel between Judah to Binyamin, they catch him and they imprison him. And they say, "You're a spy. You're trying to leave to go to the other side." But that's the second time he's imprisoned. The first time he's imprisoned, he calls his disciple, Baruch ben Neriah, and God tells him, now notice, we're talking some, this is the fourth year of Yoyakim. So this is approximately 18 years before the destruction of the temple. God tells Yirmiyah, call your disciple Baruch ben Neriah. And God tells Yirmiyah, I want you to transcribe the following. And God tells him, Echa, Lamentations. 18 years before the destruction, Yirmiyah is saying, how is it, Echa? How is it that this great city is sitting desolate, empty, like a widow? She cries at night, bitter crying. All her enemies have come upon her. He's describing a destroyed city as though it's already happened. We have 18 years till the destruction. But God tells him, I want you to write Lamentations. So he writes, as God tells him, three chapters, all of them in the Seder of the Aleph Beit. So each chapter is going to have 22 verses, right? We'll have 22 letters in the Jewish alphabet. So each chapter has 22 verses. The first verse, Echa, begins with an Aleph. The second verse in the first chapter is Bachotivke, Bagida. Depends on which chapter. So he writes three chapters and he transcribes it. The one who actually writes it is Baruch ben Neriah. He's in prison. And Baruch ben Neriah, he tells him, wait till time that the Jews have gathered, a day of fast, and then read it before them. So a year later, we're talking about Kislev, so the wintry month of Kislev, the month of Hanukkah, sometime around December, and they've declared a fast day. Things are going pretty bad. The king Yoyakim has been captured by the Babylonian king. The Babylonian king told him, I'll leave you in power, but don't rebel against me again. And then Yoyakim does rebel against him again. Things are pretty bad. They call a day of fast. And you want something?
Yeah, I think prophets only receive prophecy in the form of like, they saw some sort of an image. But this is like different. God actually literally told them exactly what's right.
No.
Exactly what's right.
No. Echa is written in Ksubim. Echa, God told them, describe the destruction. Describe all the bad things that I'm planning on bringing to this, to the people of Yehuda. And Yirmiyahu said it with Ruach HaKodesh. God didn't tell him verbatim. God didn't tell any prophet verbatim other than Moshe. What? God foretold him of the destruction, correct. So, Yirmiyah tells his student Baruch ben Neriah. By the way, Baruch ben Neriah is going to be the Rebbe of Ezra. That's the tradition we have. That went from Yirmiyah to Baruch ben Neriah, from Baruch ben Neriah to Ezra, and Ezra established the Great Assembly in the beginning of the Second Temple. So his disciple now, Baruch ben Neriah, is sitting at his feet and writing down. And he writes down one chapter, 22 verses of Echa. Another chapter begins with Echa. Third chapter, an hour Echa. There are five chapters, and this is chapter 1, 3, and 4, if I'm not mistaken. Chapter 1, 3, and 4, yeah. Or 1, 2, and 4, I'm sorry. 1, 2, and 4, if I'm not mistaken. So, Baruch ben Neriah is sitting there, and he writes it down. Then Yirmiyah tells him, wait till day of fast, and then all the people come into the temple. There's a big gathering. Then read this publicly. And hopefully it'll shock the people and they'll repent. This'll shock them into realizing that the city will be destroyed. So he waits. Some time passes. We're in the fifth year of Yoyakim, the ninth month. It's the month of Kislev. A fast day was declared. And everyone gathers to Yerushalayim. Baruch ben Neriah goes into the temple, stands between the Ezra's Kohanim and the Ezra's Yisrael, and starts reading out Echa. Everyone's quiet, and Baruch is reading. His master, his teacher, Yirmiyah, is incarcerated. He's in jail. Baruch Ben Arya stands up there and he starts reading. How is it that that city, that beautiful, amazing city, is sitting all alone? How is it that she cries at night, a bitter crying, and her crying can be heard far and wide? The young maidens have been destroyed, the city's been destroyed, the people have been exiled, the enemies are ruling over the city, and he's describing it all in past tense, as though it's already happened. The people are shocked. One of the people runs over to the nobles that are sitting in the king's palace, and he tells them what Baruch has been saying. And they send word, Baruch, come tell us what you have to say. Baruch comes before them, they summon him to come together with the Megillah. He brings the Megillah, and he starts reading before them these chapters of Eicha. When the nobles hear his description, his vivid description, the hands of merciful women are cooking their children alive. They're cooking their children because they have nothing to eat. They hear his description and they shudder. They say, we have to tell the king. And then they tell Baruch, but go hide. You go hide and hide your teacher Jeremiah. We're not sure what the king's going to do when we tell him. Everyone knows how wicked Jehoiakim is. And so the nobles, they're smart. They hide the Megillah. And they come before Jehoiakim. And they tell him, look, this is what we've heard. Now before they go, they tell Baruch, they ask Baruch, look, we want to make sure we got this right. Tell us, did Yirmiyo tell you an approximate picture and you wrote it? How did this work? And Baruch says, no, this word for word is Yirmiyo's prophecy. Every word here, as Yirmiyo told me, I wrote it down. I didn't even wait till he finished the chapter and then wrote it down. Word for word, these are the words of the prophet Yirmiyo. Now Baruch has not merited to get prophecy, so they want to make sure this is the words of the prophet. They go before the king and they tell him, we've heard about that the whole city is going to be destroyed. Yirmiyo sent his student in the middle of the temple. He stood up before all the people and he read about how the whole city is going to be destroyed. And the king says, okay, bring the book before me. I want to hear. So they bring the parchment upon which Eicha is written. And they start reading. Eicha yasheva vadad ha'ir rabati am. How is it that the city that was humming with people is sitting all alone? Rabati vagoyim, she was great among the nations. Sarati bamdinot, she had a position of leadership among the different empires. What?
You missed two words.
Hayta kalmana?
Yeah.
She was like a widow. So he says, okay, the city will be destroyed, he thinks to himself, but I'll still be king. They continue, they read the second verse. Bachot tivke balayla. She cries out at night. V'dimata lechaya, and her tear keeps dripping down her cheek. En la menachem mikol aveha. She has no comforter among all those that may believe they were her lovers. Kol re'eha, all her former friends, bageduva. They have turned out to be, they have turned against her. They have turned to be traitors. Gamhine enacha, she too, and she realized this, she sighed. Patashovacho, she turned back. He thinks to himself, but I'll still be king. Someone will remain, I'll be king. They reach the third verse. Galeta Yehuda me'oni u'merov avodah. Judah has been exiled. Hi yasheva v'goyim. She's going to be among the nations. Lo matza'a manoach. She finds no rest. Kol rodefeha yisigua ben ha-metzachim. All those that chased her caught up to her in between the boundaries of the field. And this wicked thing, king hears of the destruction of the city, hears of the destruction and the exile of the people, but he's thinking to himself, I'll still be king. Someone will stay. They continue to the fourth verse. Darchei Tzion Avelot. The pathways of Zion are in mourning. Mi Belivei Moed. No one comes to the set times that they should be coming to the temple. Kol She'areha Shomimin. All her gates are desolate. Kohanei Ne'anachim. Her priests are sighing. The Tulutea Nugot, Vihimala. Her virgins, her young women, are filled with tears and she is totally bitter. And he's still calm until they say, Hayu tsareha lerosh. Her enemies, they're going to lead the country. The rulers are going to be the enemies. They're going to run the show. And when he hears that, he gets off his seat. He grabs Megillas Eicha out of their hands. He takes a sword, he takes the knife of the scribe and cuts it to shreds and throws it into the hearth. And the nobles stand up and they plead with him. They say, these are the words of the prophet. Please take heed. Don't throw it into the fireplace. And it's a wintry month. He's standing there and the fire is burning before him. And he cuts it and throws it into the hearth. He throws it into the fireplace. And with that, Eicha goes up in flames. And with that, our hope. He didn't hear the whole thing. The second he heard, the one thing that touched him, when he heard that he would not be king, the enemies would run the show, he took the Megillah and threw it into the fire. The people who were standing around, his officers, they didn't take heed. He didn't take heed. The halacha that we derive from this, the pasuk says, everyone that heard, they didn't tear their clothing. From here we derive that if one sees a scroll, a Torah scroll burnt, one must tear one's clothing. They didn't tear their clothing. They didn't take heed from the prophecy. And so, the destruction was imminent, and they weren't taking the cue, they weren't taking the warning that God had sent them.
Who is the king?
Instead, what does Yoyakim do? Yoyakim, the son of... Yeah.
So this new king we have...
We'll get it. So, what does Yoyakim do? He orders that Yirmiyah and Baruch ben Neriah be seized. And miraculously, God hides them. That's what the Navi says. God sees it that they're hidden, and he doesn't find them. Now, God tells Yirmiyah, rewrite the Megillah. And this time, Yirmiyah adds to the Megillah the equivalent of the Megillah. Meaning, the original version of the Megillah had three chapters. What in our Megillah is chapter 1, 2, and 4. And those chapters each has 22 verses according to the ordering of the Aleph Beis. Yirmiyahu added what in our Megillah is the third chapter. And that chapter has three series of the Aleph Beis. It has 66 verses. Meaning the original Megillah had 66 verses. And Yirmiyahu added another 66 verses, another chapter that has 66 verses. That's the chapter on Yagivim.
And,
yeah.
Added that based on new prophecy?
I don't know. I mean, it was all done with Ruach HaKodesh. So, I guess. But it doesn't say it explicitly, I guess. That's intrinsic to the Megillah. It's all Ruach HaKodesh. So we have the Megillah of Eicha being written years before the destruction, at least 18 years before the destruction of the temple. And the point of the Megillah is really to get the people to think and to realize that the destruction is going to happen. Life is not going to continue the way they knew it. And hopefully this is going to shock them into the realization that they better repent. Now, with that in mind, let's analyze what is the name of this Megillah. In English they call it Lamentations. What do we call it? We call it Megillat Eicha. What does the word Eicha mean? Like Eich. How? What is the root of the message that Yirmiyahu is trying to give the people? His point isn't this is what will be. His point is, how is this going to happen, and how can we ensure that it doesn't? The Megillah revolves around the word Eicha, because what interests us is not the question of what transpired in history, but rather why did it transpire in history. The reason why we have all kinds of stories throughout the Nevi'im, we know that you have the book of Shmuel and the book of Melachim, and they seem to record history. But you'll notice that the book of Melachim, we're going to begin next semester, God willing, is filled with verses that say, and the rest of the story is written in the history books. Every time it tells us about a king, it tells us, and everything else you want to know about this king, read the history books. What's the point? The point is that the prophets didn't write history books. even though they recorded things that did occur in history, their point was to give us the understanding of why these things occurred. The point of the books that we read, the book of Shmuel, the book of Melachim, is to explain to us, when they sinned, then they were overtaken by this empire. When they repented, they removed the yoke of the empire. The point of the books is to give us the insight, so to speak, to recognize God's hand in what happened. If we just want to know what occurred, then they just write history books. The main point of the Nevi'im is the understanding of why that occurred. And so when Yirmiyahu composes his Megillah, and he's at least 18 years, he's at least 18 years before the destruction, and he's writing about how this great city, the city that was so valued that every king, it's like today, if you're someone, you have a bank account in Switzerland. So in their times, if you were a real king, if you were worth something, then you had an apartment building, you had some kind of complex out in Jerusalem. Any king that was, anyone who was someone, he purchased a place to be in Jerusalem. That was like the Swiss Alps. So this great city that everyone valued was destroyed, and destroyed beyond the description of any other city. So how is it that this city was reduced to rubble? That's the question Yirmiyahu is asking throughout the Megillah. How did all this come to be? And with this question, which he also alludes to the answer, he's trying to get the people to repent. So as shocking as the Megillah is, we have to remember that the Megillah is a description of the destruction well before the destruction. Just to get a full picture of Yirmiyahu composed the book of Yirmiyahu, the prophecies of Jeremiah, the book of Melachim, the book of Kings, and Echa, the book of Lamentations. At the end, Yirmiyahu was trying to leave the city to go and prophesy to the people of Binyamin to help them repent. And you remember Hananiah ben Azur, that false prophet that Yirmiyahu spoke a little too sweetly to him. So Yirmiyahu told him, "You're lying." And then Yirmiyahu said, "God just told me you're lying, and you will not live out the year." So Hananiah ben Azur was deathly ill, lying on his deathbed, and it was just before Rosh Hashanah. And he told his kids, "I'm dying because of Yirmiyahu. Get back at him. And don't make it known that I died till after Rosh Hashanah. So it'll look like he lied. So no, people won't think he said the truth." He died. And his son kept looking for a way to get back at Yirmiyahu, and he didn't succeed. But he told the grandson, he said, "Keep an eye out when you can get back at him. Because of him, grandpa died." And so now as Yirmiyahu is about to leave the city, that grandson is standing there, and he's the guard at the gate. And he sees Yirmiyahu, and he sees his chance. And he says, "You liar. You're going out there, you want to help the enemy. You're a traitor." And he grabs Yirmiyahu and he puts him in jail. And en route, he gets the other guards and he riles them on, and they start beating up Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu, after being beaten, is placed in jail. From jail, he continues prophesizing. He says it's going to be destroyed, and only those that give in and go over to the other side will live. Whoever is here, the city is going to be wiped out. And the people come to the king and they pressure him and they say he's hurting the morale of the people. He's ruining the morale of the soldiers. And under pressure, the king says, "I can't do anything, do what you want." So the soldiers come up to Yirmiyahu and they throw him into, thank you very much, they throw him into a pit of tar. And Yirmiyahu is sinking. And there's a servant of the king's called Eved Melech HaKushi, the servant of the black king. Different understandings as to who this is. Some say it was Baruch Ben Neria. And he hears that Yirmiyahu's being thrown into a pit of tar and he's sinking. So he runs and he comes to the pit. He runs to the king and he says, "You got to save me. You can't do this to him. What did he do? Everything he said is coming true. Don't you realize he's the true prophet? All the prophets that told you bad things, good things, you see nothing happened from what they said." Finally, he convinces the king. He runs to save Yirmiyahu. He stands at the top of the pit and he calls out, "Yirmiyahu! Yirmiyahu!" And there's silence. And he looks down to the pit, it's pitch black. And he lays down next to the pit and starts crying. He knows that his Rebbe has sunk. And as he's weeping, Yirmiyo calls out from the bottom, "Who's crying?" Yirmiyo didn't want to answer. He was scared that it was one of the soldiers that threw him in, that they were just checking that if he's alive, they'll kill him. So when he heard the guy weeping next to the pit, then he said, "Okay, so it's not them." So then he tells him, "It's me." And Eved Melech HaKushi throws down ropes, and they manage to pull Yirmiyo out of the pit of tar. The city is destroyed. And Nebuchadnezzar sees Yirmiyo, and he tells him, "You said it would be destroyed. I came here because God sent me here to destroy the city. And you foretold that the city would be destroyed. You're a true prophet of God. You do whatever you want. You want to come to Babylon? Come to Babylon. You want to come stay in Jerusalem? Stay in Jerusalem." The Medrash says that Yirmiyo was headed towards Jerusalem and he saw smoke coming from the city. And he said, "Oh, the people must have repented. They're bringing sacrifices again. People must have done tshuva." And he ran toward the city. When he reached the city, he saw the temple destroyed. And he started wailing and crying, and he saw blood covering the paths, and he knew that it was the blood of the people who were being exiled. And he looked at the footsteps, and he followed the footsteps and the blood till he came upon young men who were bound together and being led to exile. And he put his head under their chains, and he started helping them to get carried, to take the yoke. And Nebuzaradan, the chief executioner, told him, "You're going to get killed. What'd you come here for?" And he brings him, and they find out it's Yirmiyo, and then the king decrees that he doesn't get killed, that he gets to do whatever he wants. And the people reach the riverbanks of Babylon. And Nebuzaradan tells him, "Are you with them or are you going back?" And God tells Yirmiyo, "You choose. You go with them, and I'll stay with the Jews that are in Jerusalem. Or you go back to Jerusalem, and I'll stay with them." And Yirmiyo says, "They're being exiled. They need God with them. The Jews back in Jerusalem, I'll try to help them." And so he starts heading back to Jerusalem. And the Jews see that Yirmiyo is leaving them. And they call to him, and they say, "Our father Yirmiyo, you warned us. You foretold us. Everything you said is true. Now you're going to leave us." And Yirmiyo turns back to see them crying. "Al Na'arot Bavel, on the riverbanks of Babylon, Sham Yashavnu, that's where we sat, Gam Bachinu, and we also cried." That verse is describing this period, when the people saw their one leader who was truthful to them, turning back to Jerusalem. And Yirmiyo tells them, "I swear, if you would have shed a tear when you were back in Jerusalem, we wouldn't have come to this." Where's their king at this time? Tzidkiyo had been foretold. Tzidkiyo was told, "You will be exiled, Tzidkiyo. God said give up, and you're not giving up, and you will be exiled. You will be brought to Babylon, and you won't see Babylon." And Tzidkiyo couldn't understand, what's Jeremiah talking about? What's Yirmiyo telling him? And Tzidkiyo didn't want to give in, because Tzidkiyo knew that he had a tunnel from under his home that led him all the way out to Jericho. And he said, "If the city's captured, I'll get out alive." And Yirmiyo warned him. He said, "If you try this game, you're playing with the lives of the people, and God will have your own children slaughtered before you." And Tzidkiyo didn't believe it. And when Tzidkiyo saw the smokes going up, Tzidkiyo knew that the city was being destroyed. The Babylonians entered the temple, and the Kohen Gadol took the keys and he said, "God, you placed me as a guard over this house. I can't watch this house anymore. Now it's your responsibility." And he took the keys to the temple and he threw them up to heaven. And a heavenly hand came out and caught them. And then the Babylonian soldiers came forth and slaughtered him. His daughter ran out of the temple and said, "My father, my father." And the Babylonians caught her and slaughtered her over her father, and their blood simmered together near the altar. Tzidkiyo, as all of this is occurring, takes his children, his family and himself, and they slip out through the tunnel. God doesn't want Zedekiah to escape. So God sends this fat deer before Nebuchadnezzar, before Nebuchadnezzar. And they're chasing after the deer and they keep shooting after it and they can't get it. And finally they catch up to it. And they catch up to it as Zedekiah's kids are walking out of the tunnel in Jericho. And they see Zedekiah and they see his kids and they catch him. And they're brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar asks him, he says, "You promised me you wouldn't rebel. I left you as king over Jerusalem under the understanding and agreement you wouldn't rebel. Now tell me, how do I judge you? Should I judge you with Jewish law or with Babylonian law? Because in Babylonian law, you know, the way the world is, if you go against the king, you rebel against the king, you get killed. And Jewish law says, if you take a vow and you don't keep your vow, you also get killed. So Zedekiah, how do you want to be judged?" And he tells his executioner, "We're going to kill Zedekiah and the children." And Zedekiah steps forward and he says, "Do me a favor, kill me first. I don't want to see my kids get killed." And the kids step forward and they say, "Do us a favor, kill us first. We don't want to see our father killed." And Nebuchadnezzar decides to listen to the kids. So he has the kids slaughtered one by one before Zedekiah. And then he has his servants take out Zedekiah's eyes. And then Zedekiah is led in shackles to Babylon. And as he steps into Babylon, he says, "Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu, how true were your words. You said I would be brought to Babylon, but I wouldn't see Babylon. Now I know what you meant." Yirmiyahu heads back to Yerushalayim. And the king had established Gedaliah ben Achikam as the governor. And Gedaliah is residing over the people. And he sends word to the people to come back, those that had managed to escape, those that had managed to hide. And they start setting things up again. Along comes a wicked person by the name of Yishmael ben Nesanya. And Yishmael felt like he should be governor. And Yishmael felt that he could be governor. So he comes with his band of men, and he's headed towards Jerusalem on Rosh Hashanah. Now, Gedaliah was forewarned. Yishmael is coming to assassinate you. And Gedaliah said, "How could you talk about a Jew that way? That's Lashon Hara." And so Gedaliah is not worried. He treats Yishmael like he's a tzaddik. And Yishmael, in fact, assassinates him. And Yishmael kills the people. And then when more people come, they've heard that there's peace and they could come. So Yishmael kills them, and he's about to kill everyone until a group of people tell him, we still have food out in the field. You'll stay alive. We still have food eating out there. And he leaves them alive. Now a general by the name of Yochanan ben Kareach is heading towards the city. And he hears what Yishmael did. So he comes towards the city with his men. And when Yishmael hears that he's coming and he's outnumbered, he has 8 or 9 men, he flees. Now Yochanan ben Kareach has control of Jerusalem. But the Babylonian Empire is going to get word that their governor, Gedaliah ben Achikam, was assassinated. Gedaliah was assassinated. It is unclear whether he was assassinated on Rosh Hashanah itself, but they couldn't bury him and lament his death until the 3rd of Tishrei, right? Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Beis, and that's why Tzom Gedaliah, the fast of Gedaliah, is on the 3rd, or maybe he was actually assassinated on the 3rd of Tishrei. So Yochanan ben Kareach and his men, they don't know what to do. Are they in danger or not? Some people are saying we have to run down to Egypt. Some people are saying, no, we're okay. They ask Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu says, "Nah, you guys won't listen." And they tell him, "No, we've seen all your prophecies have come true. Ask God, what should we do?" And Yirmiyahu asks, and God doesn't answer. And a day passes, and 2 days pass, and 3 days pass. And after 10 days pass, God answers Yirmiyahu. And God tells him, "Tell the people that they should not go down to Egypt, for the sword that I sent to destroy Jerusalem, I am sending to destroy Egypt. And if they want, they should stay in Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem they will be safe, but they should not go down to Egypt." Yirmiyahu tells the people this prophecy, and the people tell Yirmiyahu, "You're a liar. 10 days and he didn't have prophecy? You have a student, Baruch ben Neriah, he's been dying for prophecy. He hasn't gotten prophecy. Must be that he was sitting there and hallucinating and he thought he had prophecy and he convinced you that this is what God said. Can't be. You were always a faithful prophet. Now suddenly for 10 days God doesn't talk to you. Now you come back with word. You're lying. We don't buy it." And they go down to Egypt. not only do they go down to Egypt, they force Yirmiyah and Baruch ben Neriah and all the other tzaddikim that were still around, they forced them all to go down to Egypt with him. And as they go, Yirmiyah tells them, now you're worse off. Had you not asked God, it's okay, you took it, you made your own choice. But you did. And God said, don't go down. And now you're not listening. When they reach Egypt, they start adopting the Egyptian way of life. They start doing sorcery, magic, all the things that the Torah forbids. And Yirmiyah calls them in and he says, God forbids this. And they say, we're not listening to you. And it's interesting that over there, the Navi stresses that the women talk back. And the women were the ones that were really into this. And Yirmiyah tells them, you can't do this. And they say, what do you think, our husbands don't know? We did this back when we were in Jerusalem and we're doing this now. You know when things got bad in Jerusalem? When we stopped doing this. When we stopped doing this idol worship. That's when things got bad. That's when the destruction came. And they refused to listen. And ultimately the destruction follows them. And Egypt is destroyed and the remaining Jewry is destroyed. Now when the Jews of their own accord pack their bags and leave Jerusalem, that is when the destruction is complete. Until that point there was still a remnant of Jewry. Until that point we still had even a governor in Jerusalem. It was when the Jews would not listen to Yirmiyahu. The same Yirmiyahu who had told them all those years, give up, because God's destroying Jerusalem. Now Yirmiyahu told them, stick around. If you go to Egypt, you'll be destroyed. And now of their own accord, they pack their bags, they leave to Mitzrayim, and are destroyed in Mitzrayim. And that is when the destruction is complete, and that is why we mourn on Tzom Gedaliah, the day that Gedaliah was killed. In short, that is the story of Yirmiyahu. Obviously, Yirmiyahu is 52 chapters. If we're summarizing it in 15 minutes, we're not doing it justice. But as far as what we need to know for Eicha, that gives us a general picture, a general introduction to the Megillah of Eicha. And now we'll begin the Megillah.